Jimmy, thank you. Well, let me add my welcome as well. Thank you for coming today, and thank you for inviting me. It's great to be back and to see you. And yeah, over the next 3 weeks, I'll be speaking here each Wednesday lunchtime, and we're going to consider a different question each week. And today's question, up behind me, is asking, why are some atheists reconsidering Christianity? And by the way, they are, in case you didn't know. That's the thesis of this book, which is by Justin Brierley. I'm Justin Brierley, a Christian author, and it's entitled The Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God, Why New Atheism Grew Old and Secular Thinkers Are Considering Christianity Again. And if reading's not your thing, there's a great podcast series that accompanies it. But it's interesting to say here we are in 2024?
Yeah.
2024, and we've come a long way since 2006. In 2006, Richard Dawkins published his book, The God Delusion. It sold millions of copies, and publishing houses rushed to get on board with atheist literature and sell them. In 2008, there was an atheist advertising campaign on London buses, which read this: "There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." And remember that series, that advertising campaign? In 2013, the first, quote, atheist church was started in Islington. And the two people who set it up said, quote, "We wanted to do something like church, but without God." So they gathered together on a Sunday morning. They sang pop songs, you know, Oasis, Lion King, that kind of thing. And they had motivational talks from speakers. But the point Justin Brierley is making in this book is to highlight, actually, here we are in 2024, the failing influence and appeal of new atheism to our culture. Well, actually, Christianity is making a surprising comeback amongst leading secular thinkers. And Justin Brierley, he's not the only person to make this point. There's another book that's come out recently called Coming to Faith Through Dawkins. It's observing the same kind of phenomena. People who 10, 15, 20 years ago would have called themselves atheists are now coming to call themselves Christians. And for those of us who follow such things in online discourse, so in Twitter and on podcasts and that kind of thing, actually, the influences to this movement, so to speak, are coming from a non-Christian, even atheist, starting point. As a few kind of key characters, one would be Douglas Murray, author, columnist as well. He's now describing himself as a Christian atheist. Tom Holland as well, of the Rest Is History podcast fame. Any fans of the Rest Is History podcast series here? Very good podcast. His book, Dominion, has had a really big influence amongst secular thinkers. It's called Dominion, Christianity and the Making of the Western Mind. All about how actually Christianity has shaped the air we breathe as Westerners here today. Louise Perry is another one, author of The Case Against the Sexual Revolution, and Jordan Peterson another. And notably, Ayin Ali has moved from calling herself an atheist to now writing publicly, Why I Am Now a Christian. So Ayin Ali, she's one of the, quote, high-profile conversions to Christianity. Other names are Paul Kingsnorth and Martin Shaw, amongst others. But a few years ago, nobody saw this coming. But now Christianity is very much part of the conversation among secular thinkers. And then just to speak anecdotally for a moment, as a pastor, I've seen in the last few years the same journey in, quote, low-profile people like me, like us. I've done ministry in Fulham for a few years. I'm now down in rural Kent, very different context to London. But I've noticed a growing number of people with the same questions and the same feeling of disillusionment with how secular culture has influenced them. I think of one man I know, a Ricky man in his 30s. He would have called himself an atheist just a few years ago, but he now called himself a Christian and was baptized just a month ago. So self-professing atheists are reconsidering Christianity. And actually, as are plenty of people who wouldn't go as far as calling themselves atheists, maybe call themselves not particularly religious or not even sure what they think. But plenty of people are starting to reconsider Christianity. Why? Well, I think while in 2008 the new atheists told us Londoners, there's probably no God, now stop worrying and enjoy your life, we found it wasn't quite that simple. Because cut off from the traditional Christian moorings, a secular culture left people drifting into difficulty. And there's plenty of examples we could look into. For example, one is just confusion. How do we know what's true? How do we know what's right and wrong? Where do we even look for a source of truth in our lives? That's the question we'll be exploring next week, so do come back. I hope to make the case that Jesus Christ offers a good and a beautiful source to look for truth to build your life on. But for the remaining few minutes, I'd like to explore just one area that plenty of people, actually whether we call ourselves atheists or not, are questioning, and that Jesus offers a beautiful and compelling answer to. And for the rest of our time, I'd like to address what's called the meaning crisis. The meaning crisis, a purpose crisis in our culture. Here's what Dawkins had to say, Richard Dawkins, on the purpose of us. He said this: "We are machines built by DNA whose purpose is to make more copies of the same DNA. This is exactly what we are for. We are machines for propagating DNA, and the propagation of DNA is a self-sustaining process. It is every living object's sole reason for living." What do you make of that? Hang on a minute. If I am just a machine of atoms whose only purpose is to be a photocopier of DNA, why should I get out of bed in the morning? How does it help me know what to do? How am I supposed to work out the kind of person to strive to be? Justin Brierley, in his book, writes, "Science can tell you how the universe arose, but not why it's there. Science can tell you what you consist of, but not what you're worth. Science can generate solutions to poverty, but not the compassion to implement them. Science can make you money, but not purchase a meaningful existence." That's what Justin Brierley says. Well, sadly, the stats say of Britons under the age of 30, 90% say their life lacks meaning or purpose. So a growing number of us have found ourselves in a bit of a meaning crisis, lacking direction and lacking a story to build our lives on that gives us meaning. So for the rest of our time, let me offer you the story of the gospel, the story of the good news about Jesus. And I'd like you to imagine the meaning this would give you if this Christian story was yours. Let me read again the words Jimmy read for us. It's from Paul's letter to a church in Corinth. It's in the New Testament. And in it we get a summary of the kind of meaning Jesus offers. Let me read. "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies." Let me quickly break it down for us. I've got three very simple points for the next few minutes for us. The first is, you were bought at a price. Think of the setting of an auction house, a piece of art that goes to bid. The auctioneer asks, "Can I open the bid at £10,000? Silence. £5,000? Silence. £500? Silence. £5? And then the reply comes, £50 million, all I have." Imagine an object like that bought at a shockingly high price. That's the kind of picture we're given here in this verse of Jesus' death on the cross for us. At the price of his own blood, he paid the just price for the guilt of our sin. At the cost of his own life, Jesus took the punishment our sins deserved. So the person who believes in Jesus, who prays, "Father, forgive us our sins," is a person who has been bought at a shockingly high price. The price was the life of Jesus, and he bought it with his death. Pause on that for a sec. If that's true, how much are you worth? God is the best thing ever. He is love, and he values you enough to purchase you with his own blood. Friends, we are more than, quote, machines for propagating DNA. Jesus shows us we are valuable. That's a story to get behind with your life. You were bought at a price. And so secondly, you are not your own. Like the artwork bought from the auctioneer now belongs to the bidder who bought it, the claim of Christianity is that the believer is not their own, They belong to the God who bought them. Imagine a stamp on your forehead that said, belong, property of God. Now, thinking this flies against a lot of the personal freedom narratives we hear in our culture and see on our TV screens all the time. I don't know if you've seen the hit movie called The Greatest Showman, but the leads in it sing this song. It's up to you and it's up to me. No one could say what we get to be. And why don't we rewrite the stars, changing the world to be ours? The voice of the secular age we're in tells us, you are your own. But the story of the Bible tells us we're not our own. The Christian belongs to God. And the good news is, it means that the story we live by is not one I have to invent on my own. It's one that's given to me by God. Christianity is a story, a given meaning to our lives. So my reason to get out of bed in the morning, it's not one I've got to kind of conjure up or rethink all the time. The reason is given to me by the God who knows me best because he made me, and who loves me best because he died for me. So, what is this reason to get out of bed in the morning? What is the solution to the meaning crisis? Well, you're not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. The one who bought you is so good, you are to give them honour. Honour God with your bodies. I think for a moment of the honour that as a nation we paid to the late Queen. It was quite striking, wasn't it? People queuing through the night to see her lying in state. Why did they do that? Why did people travel from all over the country and actually all over the world to honour her in that way? It was because of the honour and praise they thought that her character and her service was worth. To give honour means to give someone the respect and the esteem that they deserve. God has shown us how good and loving his character and service to us is through Jesus on the cross, shedding his own blood for us. He is worth living to honour, living to express worship to. And that's a story that gives meaning to our lives, a meaning to live for. So science can tell you how the universe arose, but not why it's there. But Jesus can, to give glory to God. Science can tell you what you consist of, but not what you are worth. But Jesus can, to be bought at the price of his death. Science can generate solutions to poverty, but not the compassion to implement them. But Jesus can, by his example of sacrificial love. Science can make you money, but not purchase a meaningful existence. But Jesus can, to live to give honour to God. My friend Ricky, I mentioned earlier, just a few years ago would have called himself an atheist, grew up in a non-believing, non-Christian family, and said he'd never given Christianity the time of day before in his life. But for him, actually, it was when his first child was born, just a few years ago, he realized love and beauty, they're real things. They're not just accidents of atoms colliding together. But he couldn't say why they're real things. World events made him realize that evil was a real and powerful thing. But he couldn't say why. And this led him to look into Jesus, and he was surprised to find the answers to his questions. They were found in Jesus. He came to put his trust in Jesus, as a son of God who died for his sin, and he now calls himself a Christian. And he has a God-given purpose to his life. It's to honour God, to enjoy God, and to obey God. And for anyone here today, if that's not yet you, if Christianity is something that you're still looking into, let me encourage you that the Christian story, it really does offer the kind of meaning and purpose for life that so many of us deep down feel lacking. The Christian story is all about Jesus and who he claims to be. So I'd really encourage you to keep looking into who Jesus is. That really is the most important question. And for anyone here today thinking, well, to be honest, the question floating in the back of my mind right now is, Simon, sounds lovely for you that you've come to believe in that story. You know, I can imagine for you that's a lovely thing to think and it's really helpful, but is it actually true? Well, next week, the question we're exploring is, Where does truth come from? And we'll consider what it means for Jesus to claim to be the truth. And I hope to make the case that he offers a good and beautiful source of truth to base our lives on. Shall I pray? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the value that you place on us, a value we don't deserve in so many ways, a value high enough for Jesus to give his own blood, his own life for us. We are not our own. We are bought at a price. We pray we'd honour you with our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Simon, thank you.
Thank you.